I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 2 this morning. Mark chapter 2. And in verse 17, Jesus declared, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's those who are sick, those who are struggling." And it's for this reason that we continue this morning a series that is called We Are the Church. Because we understand that we don't just meet here as a group, but that we are part of something bigger than just ourselves. That we are a part of the continuation of the mission that Jesus began. And that today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the anniversary of the beginning of the church. So today we're going to be working from this part in Mark chapter 2, the very beginning of it, where we find Jesus, after having gone through done a bunch of healings in chapter 1 and some different things, and he's gotten so popular that he's having a hard time now already getting back into town. And so he is now back into what we understand as his hometown, his home base of Capernaum, and he's teaching, and he's in this home that's filled with people. And Mark tells us that they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, as Jesus preached the word to them. But then some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I love this story. It's a fun story, and this morning, I want us to look at it and not just understand the story, but to see some different things. And because it points out five different types of people within this story. And the thing about it is, it's not just five people in this story, but it is five types of people that are in every church. And so this morning, as we look at this story and we hear about these types of people, I want to encourage you maybe even to think through this process and say, well, which type am I? So to start, in every church, not just in the story, but in every church, you'll find someone in need. In this story, it's a paralyzed man. He would have likely, because of his being paralyzed, he would have been a beggar. Outside, considered an unclean person, left outside the temple and all the different parts that are part of it, out of the synagogue. He would have been held there and would have just been begging to continue in life. And to get anywhere, he had to sit on a mat and expect people to carry him. He was completely dependent on the people around him. But so that we can remember him as we're going along this morning, let's give him a name. It's not given in the scripture, but we're going to call this guy Matt because he's been laying on a mat. I think it's, you know, I need simple things. But there's always someone in need. I don't need you to look around and start guessing who that person is. Because we're all in need at some point. There's nothing wrong with being in need. And the truth is, right now, some of you here are in need this morning. Some of you, you're battling health issues. Others are battling with mental issues of depression and things. Maybe some of you are going through some kind of trial. you've experienced loss like we've shared today, or maybe you feel alone and you're just trying to navigate where life is right now in this very complicated world. Maybe you're struggling to pay the bills. I mean, have you seen the price of milk and eggs, let alone gas, lately? What used to be the 99-cent burger at McDonald's now costs $5. It's tough out there, and so people are worried about it. How do we make ends meet? Maybe you've got anxiety because of any of these things, and you don't know what to do. But in every church, we find people who are in need. But here's the thing. We need to know this place, this group of people that we call the church, is the place where people in need should be. That when it's a good place to come when you're in need. But in this story also, and in every church, we'll also find someone who cares. Chances are you may be sitting right next to them and you don't even know it. No idea how much that person, whether it be right next to you or in front or back or any of those, how much they might even desire to show love and care for you if they knew about what was going on and if you knew them right now. And in this story, we find four guys who pick up what we assume is their friend, Matt. Now, this isn't in the Bible, but again, we got to help ourselves a little bit. And so for fun, we're going to call them Bubba, Bert, Bo, and Bob. And we can imagine them at some point that morning, that day. Maybe they're sitting at a restaurant having a Bible study, or they're just talking about current events. I don't know. It's, you know, in our case, maybe they're sitting in the Nazarene Annex at the Inland that morning, you know, just talking shop. And all of a sudden, Bubba says, "Hey, did you guys hear about this guy named Jesus? I mean, I heard he raised a guy from the dead." And Bo says, "Well, really? Well, I heard he healed a blind guy." And then Bert says, "Well, if he can do it for them, what about Mike? I mean, Matt." See? I try to keep it simple and it still doesn't work. I just turned 52. You got to give me some, you know. I went searching for something in my house yesterday for a good solid 10 minutes only to find it was in the wrong pocket. It gets worse. So you know, I bet he could do what he could do for Matt. If he could heal a blind guy, if he can heal a dead guy, what can he do for Matt, who's paralyzed? So they declare, "Road trip." And these guys go and get Matt and pick him up and carry him. I really want you to think about that. They pick up and carry a grown man who can't help himself. We don't know how far they carried him. We don't know what all he did, had to go through to do that, what kind of a struggle, how much they had to overcome to get Matt to this point where he was before Jesus. But when they get to the house where Jesus is teaching at that moment, an issue that they didn't foresee happens. Now, I want to explain a little bit about this. To give us some context of what they encountered here. Here's a picture roughly of a first century Jewish dwelling in that area. There's a lot of remains of homes from roughly that period of time, so they have a pretty good idea. They would have been built mostly of volcanic rock. Roofs would have had these beams about 3 feet apart or so. And then in between those beams, they'd put straw and some clay and some manure and kind of pack it in. And out of that, grass would grow on top often. It's because whatever it would rain, the clay would absorb the water that was packed into that manure and it would seal off the roof. Then around that house, they would have had a courtyard that would have been a common courtyard, a shared courtyard. This only shows it with one house, but often that courtyard would have had other houses connected to it. And then you find the door to the house. And if the door was left open, it meant come on in. And almost all the time during the day, they lived in a culture where the door was open. But when these four guys walk open, it didn't matter that the door was open. Here they come carrying Matt. But the house was so full of people that they couldn't get to Jesus. Couldn't even see him in there. They just knew he was there. And as they walk up, we encounter another type of person in the church. Because in every church, you're going to find someone who's in need. You're going to find someone who cares. But you're also going to find good people. But they're like many of us that we find. They are people who are preoccupied. In this case, they're listening to Jesus. It's a good thing. I mean, so this man is in need outside, but inadvertently the people had their back to the one who was in need as they listened to Jesus. And they're getting fed. And they're in discussion, and they're in this little holy huddle, and they love what Jesus is saying, and they've got Christian bumper stickers on their donkeys and their camels out in the courtyard. And yet, without understanding or meaning it, anything by it, or fully understand it, what was going on, their body language and their posture essentially said to the person behind them that needed Jesus, you can just wait your turn. We're doing our thing today. They didn't mean to, but they had their thing going on, and it was good, and they were comfortable, and they all liked each other, but they didn't realize that they had turned their backs on the person in need. So maybe these four guys are about to give up, declare, well, maybe another day. We can't get him to Matt to Jesus today. But I kind of hope this is the way it happens, but Bo maybe said, hey, don't forget, with God, nothing is impossible. There's always a way. And that's a good reminder for all of us. I don't know who needs to hear it this morning, but I'm sure there's somebody where you're facing something and you need to remember and be reminded that with God, there's always a way. And some of you, you've been praying for your own version of Matt. Someone who's hurting and far away from God. You think, oh man, they're never going to experience and come to God. But I want to tell you right now, don't give up. God is always working. Even when we can't see it, even in ways we may not understand, but there's always a way when God is involved. So these guys declare, well, we've got to get our friend to Jesus, and we're not going to give up until we do, because God's got something for him. So they start brainstorming, and one of them says, well, I guess we could yell fire. Well, that's not a good idea. So the other says, hey, I got an idea. Let's get up on the roof. And we'll just dig through the roof and see how we can do. So these old guys start, they pick up Matt on his mat. carry him up those stairs. And then they get there and they start digging. I can only imagine how they kind of position, oh, this looks about the middle, and just start digging this hole. And I don't know exactly how or what happened next, but I can kind of imagine it. That through their determination, and all of a sudden below, in this packed house, Jesus is teaching, and suddenly there's stuff starting to fall from the roof. And all of a sudden, light starts entering in a way that they weren't expecting from outside. And suddenly, there's this huge hole. And I'm visualizing Bubba saying, okay, here, you get that corner of that, you know, with his arm over here, and you get that corner of the mat with his arm over here, and we'll get his legs, and we'll just kind of tilt him in, and we'll get him, and they're all kind of reaching down. You can kind of visualize it. You know, we want to say it safely, you know, because OSHA was involved, that there would have been ropes, but we don't know that they had ropes. But it could have been that they were just holding on to those corners as far as they could, and they decided, you know what, he's already paralyzed, and whoop. You never heard it told that way before, had you? But boom. Right in front of Jesus, he falls through someone's roof. And what I love about this, it says that when Jesus saw their faith, and if you're wondering, how do you see faith? Because we like to just describe faith as this invisible feeling, kind of touchy-feely kind of thing. But faith that Jesus sees is seen, wasn't it just an internal, invisible faith? Or belief. It was something that was internal, so strong that it showed up in how they lived. It showed up in their actions. That's how you can see someone's faith. Because I can see your faith in the way you serve. I can see your faith in the way you worship, in the way you give, even when you don't feel like God's got it doing anything in your life, but you continue to give him praise because you understand it's bigger than just the midst of this moment. I can see your faith in the way you love others that sometimes are difficult to love. I can see your faith when you continue to invite and to bring people because you know that they need to encounter Jesus in a special way. Says, so when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Because by the grace of God, he gives us what we do not deserve and can never earn. He forgives us of our sins. And he doesn't hold them against us. Which shows us this very important principle that we really need to understand today, that sometimes God gives us what we need even before he gives us what we want. And that may be where some of us are right now. You know, we're asking for this, but God has given us that. And we want this, but you need this first, and we just don't realize it. Sometimes he gives us what we need before he gives us what we want. And you find these people in every church. You find someone in need. You find someone who cares. You find someone who's preoccupied. And unfortunately, you find someone who's critical. And I'm not asking you to point out those people right now, or I'm not asking you to nudge them in, you know, with your elbow, because that'd be rude. But know they are here. Mark chapter 2 verse 6 says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow Jesus talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They're declaring, Jesus, you can't forgive. You can't say that. You got this out of order. You don't understand who you are. Because we know. We've been here a long time. We've been leaders of this building in this area for a long time. And you can't say it that way. You can't do those things. And then these guys have dug through the hole through the roof, and they say, well, do you understand? We don't do that kind of thing here. How dare you? This is our place. And they start getting critical because it's not the way they would have done it. But Jesus didn't stop for those critics. And he still doesn't. Instead, it says that Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he looks over to Matt, who's laying there, probably crumpled because he got dropped, remember? He says, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And how does he respond? It says he got up, he took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Jesus gave him what he needed before he gave him what he wanted. He declared, your sins are forgiven. And now he says, take up your mat and go. Go your way. You don't need anything to carry you anymore. You can do it. What Jesus didn't do was to stop because the critical people weren't liking what he was saying. He knew what he was called to do. And God may be speaking to somebody today and declaring, I want you to take up your mat because you don't need it anymore. You've been relying on something that you don't need to rely on anymore. It's time to lay down, and what it may look like is it's time to lay down your drug of choice. You don't need it anymore, for I have healed you. You've got a greater power than anything that you could put inside your body. For others, it's time to let go of the grudge. It's not healing you. It's hurting you. It's poisoning you. For others, it's time to leave your shame. Let go and let that mat behind and walk on. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're free. Get out of here. You're restored. Get up and go. And you find all these people in the church. And it's good for us to ask, which one are you? For some of us, you may be more than one. Because depending on where you are, at different points in your walk, you might be the person in need. And remember, this is a great place to be. Because there's always someone who cares. And by the grace of God, I hope that we will care enough to not always have our back turned. And to be so preoccupied with what we're doing that we would turn around and say, who needs to experience the love of Christ today? Unfortunately, there are people that are so preoccupied, and if that's you, let's call what it is. Doesn't make you bad, but that's not the way that God desires his church to be. Some of you are critical. Because you like it a certain way, you understand it needs to be a certain way, which one are you? Because there's more than one type of person in every church. But there is one type I can guarantee fits all of us. It's someone who can be changed by the grace of Jesus. All of us fit that type. Because Scripture tells us that if anyone, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If you're in Christ, we find true freedom. There's life in Christ, and we're all someone who can be changed. So who do you find in every church? You find person after person after person whose life can be changed by the grace of Jesus. But you ever wondered who you don't find? You can look in the story, it's pretty obvious. You can look around, it's pretty obvious. It's the people that aren't here. Could be the person who was invited and almost went, but they've got stuff in their life and they don't want to feel judged. They're afraid because they might not be welcome because of their past. And they don't realize that this place, this group of people, the church, are filled with people who care. It might have been the person who was invited, but he didn't want to miss the game. Or have you seen the weather? It's time to camp. I don't know. Let me just modernize it. It might be the people who used to go to church, but during COVID they stopped and they resumed everything else in their life except for coming to church. Figured they can just do it alone. But don't forget, we don't just go to church. We are the church. We're broken people. We're all broken people saved by the grace of Jesus, who called and who are called to love those who are hurting and in need of healing. Because we're all someone in need. And we can all be someone who cares, because by the grace of Jesus, we've all been changed. We are the church. The church is not made up of bricks and stone. It's made up of changed lives, of which we're going to celebrate today. We have 8 that are going to be participating in baptism today. And so stick around. We're going to ask Will to come up and lead us in another song this morning. See, I'm already. But I'm going to invite those that are getting baptized to step out with me this morning to go get ready. But remember, as we celebrate today, this is evidence of a life changed, evidence of the church and experiencing what God has been doing already and continues to do, and he bears us hope. And so celebrate as it should be.